Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Tim.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Okay. Adrian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
This is Cindy F. Sullivan online live on Blog Talk Radio with our much anticipated global product management talk today with Tim C. Johnson, who have rescheduled from a couple of weeks ago to talk today about product marketing, laser surgery. Nomabushi.
Nomabushi.
And also online is Adrian Tan, my co-host from Australia.
Hello, everybody. Looking forward to listening to Tim tell us all about Mabushi. Is that a word that you've made up?
It's time to tell the origin of that, Cindy.
I think it's...
Yes, it is a made-up word, Adrian. I'll go into that in a couple minutes. The story was a real eye-opener, and I think it's pretty humorous as well.
Excellent. I look forward to it. I really like the word. It rolls off your tongue. Mabushi.
I've been talking about it all weekend, so...
I'm going to start using it if you don't mind. That's just mabushi.
Exactly. Well, I mean, the more the merrier. I want to get rid of it.
And so you're calling in from where today, Tim?
Oh, I'm in Scotts Valley.
Which is... south of Milpitas? I don't know where it is.
Scotts Valley is, we're just up the hill from Santa Cruz, so we're not quite down on the coast, but we're certainly on the other side of the hill from San Jose and Silicon Valley. Borland used to be based here, and Seagate had their corporate headquarters here until just a few weeks ago when they moved over the hill in Silicon Valley.
Got it. So it must be beautiful there.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Not to make anybody jealous, but I have three redwood trees right outside my front door.
Nice.
Oh, nice. No, I have traffic outside my front door.
And I have the BART train that will ride by in about within the next hour, at least once.
Okay.
And if you could say hello to Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
So actually, she gave me good feedback. If people are listening to our broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, please do not drive yourself crazy trying to listen and tweet and stay involved with the Twitter discussion like we are trying to do. There will be a lag. The timing will not sync up. So we might be talking about tweets that we're seeing that you may not see for another 5 minutes. Unfortunately, we have no control over that. I think probably the best experience would be to stay engaged in the Twitter talk. If you want to listen to our lovely voices, that's fine. I think it works best to listen to the audio while you're reviewing the transcript. And thanks to Jennifer. I think it was last week that she was listening to us in between listening to the baseball game and tweeting. And I think adding in the baseball game was probably what made it difficult.
Yeah, except she's a Red Sox fan in Minnesota. I'm not sure about
that. Well, that's okay. I'm originally from Boston, so it's fine for people to be Red Sox fans wherever they are.
Right.
Okay.
Jen says she has a golf course at her back door.
Oh, nice.
I can't compete.
So she doesn't tell you how many days of the year that golf course is under snow.
So both doctors are in the house. Yay.
She doesn't belong to the golf course club.
Yes.
Oh, Jim's joining us today.
Excellent.
Welcome, Tim. I'm just following Cindy's instructions.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me here. This is I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, yes, and we need to remember to read tweets when they get relevant. Because a couple of people did say, I think it was Larry McKeough said he's listening. Hi, Larry. Passing through Billings, Montana.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, Larry, I'm not sure how you're tweeting and driving at the same time unless it's your wife and you're in the navigator seat.
I love the concept of value, so I'm looking forward to talking about value today.
Oh, yeah. That's what's important. And it's not your value. It's what's valuable to whoever it is you're talking to, whether it's your sales team or your customers.
What are the two must-ask questions in your product marketing manager toolkit?
It's an acronym. And back in 1999, I was working for a company that was founded in Israel and had major operations in the U.S. And there was a lot of folks there with rather thick accents, and when we were in meetings talking about marketing or sales or whatever, they would very often say, "Oh, that's just Mabushi." And we didn't quite know if it was a Hebrew slang term or something. You know, we knew it was quite derogatory. And finally, somebody screwed up enough courage to ask, you know, what does that mean? And they says, "Oh, it's an acronym. It's short for marketing board." And you can figure and fill in the last part. You know, Israelis tend to be very pragmatic and not very patient.
And that's putting it kindly.
Yes, I work for three Israeli companies now. So, but it was kind of our wake up call that, you know, get to the point, focus on what's important. Don't just fluff and nonsense and hype and everything else, and talk about what's important. And so that was the whole basis. And it's something that I've incorporated into my thinking, in both from the sales side when I was still carrying a bag, as well as on the product marketing side, because it helps keep me focused on that. That's the origin of it. I hope to, little by little, this is my quixotic adventure of trying to eliminate as much Mabushi, especially in the tech marketing business, as possible, because it's a waste of time.
I'm going to start using the term.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So I have posted the first question.
Okay.
What are the two must-ask questions in your product marketing manager toolkit? And Nick Coster says he's trying to get out traffic and get onto the chat. I'm going to say hello to the doctors, officially welcoming them.
And would you believe that Jim Holland's going to be a part of the talk, but we can't actually see him on tweet chat. But I'm watching for him on Twitter so I can repost.
Great.
Okay.
Poor Jim.
And I think that he's not being indexed, which is weird, so I really want him to follow the FAQs. I think he might have to request Twitter to index him directly.
Okay. Well, Saeed just piped up with his answer, who and why. Is this where I give my input on this, or do we discuss this?
Yes.
Or,
yep, provide your input.
My input is similar to who and why. It's more who cares and why is that important.
Okay.
It's Johnson TC. Now, it's more who cares and why is that important.
Okay.
So it to expand on the who cares is, who is being impacted and how? And the why is that important is, how is it impacting them personally, perhaps from a compensation standpoint, and how is it impacting the business?
Done.
Okay. An example is simply asking a person how they're compensated.
So, it looks like Peter Cleary, is this what they need or want? This is another Australian, M&M product plan. He says the answer is, this is what they need. What do you think of that answer?
Let me think. Is it what they need or want? I would add on to that, and why not? If you want to draw people out, you know, your questions need to draw people out, and you know, a yes or no answer isn't going to do it.
So I'm who and why. These are questions. What are the two must-ask questions? So you saying that there are two questions that are better than all others?
Yeah, well, if you want to really understand the value or the impact, you have to understand how that person is being measured personally and how that situation is impacting the organization, right? And so however you get to that is your own personal style. I see Jennifer says, you know, situation dependent. Agree. You know, the ones that I found that cut to the chase most quickly is the, you know, is the so what or who cares and why is that important. And I was in an interview a couple of weeks ago, and they talked about this great reporting feature. Cool. So what? You know? But it's a cool reporting feature. Yeah, I'm sure it is. But who cares and why is that important to them? What is it in their business that they can't do that this is going to fix? And if you don't understand what's broke or how it's affecting them, then you're going to have a difficult conversation with them.
How it's affecting the customer, the user?
Yeah, or the business.
When you ask these questions, who are you asking these questions to? Yourself?
Business. Either when you're doing a persona development, or when you're on a sales call, or when you're doing a presentation, you ask those of the audience.
Ask these questions when you are developing persona. owners, doing sales call. For Jim, I noticed that he's having a lot of problems. So Saeed wants to know whether you can clarify the question. He thinks it's very general.
It's not so much a question as it is an approach to really understanding your customer's problems, understanding the value to the customer.
So it's an approach to understanding value.
Right. Kind of a driving philosophy, if you will. Okay. With Jennifer, says, need more context or better respond to this question. All makes sense, but motivation compensation is not always relevant. If it's not compensation, it's the metrics. How is that person being measured? As in, how does the company know they're doing a good job? Because if you understand that, then you understand the difficulties they're facing in doing the job. And then you can have a conversation about helping them out.
So these questions drive the company to understand if they are doing a good job.
A good job communicating the value?
No. Good job in doing their job.
In delivering.
Yeah, if you're talking to, you know, at a high level, a CIO, you know, how does the company know he's doing a good job? What is he measured on? If you're talking to a network administrator or a DBA or a sales operations manager, what are their metrics? Is it phone ring bad, phone not ring good?
So these questions drive the company to understand if they're doing a good job meeting their metrics.
Right. When you're trying to understand whether or not your stuff can help a customer, if you understand their metrics, then you understand better how to present your solution.
Understand metrics. If meet metrics.
So you're talking into where their pain point is.
Exactly.
Come on, Jim. I can't see you anywhere.
Now, this leads into question two of understanding the value chain.
Okay.
What's question two, Cindy?
What techniques do you use to understand the value chain? Do you think there's other people that aren't showing up?
Yes.
Well, there's a fellow, Clive Lamb, just jumped in and answered.
So A1, two helpful questions. What do you want to do and why do you want to do it?
Excellent response. Again, it helps you understand those questions help you understand the extent, you know, how far that reaches into the organization, how far the problem reaches into the organization.
Oh, what does he do?
Those are also good questions from Roger Collins.
Yeah.
Yeah, the why are you doing it question also gets into some form of measurement discussion that you can pursue. The other thing to add on to that is, you know, why are you doing it and who benefits from it?
Saeed's hilarious. I tend to go into psychotherapy mode. Tell me about your problem. What are your goals? You up at night. Do you have a response to that?
So probing questions are good. I mean, he's kind of, those are probing questions.
Mm. No, I agree.
Tim?
Techniques to use to understand the value chain. I'm just going to read.
You're going between one and two, you know, where Saeed is talking about, you know, going into psychotherapy mode and, you know, talking about your problems and so forth. It that may be a little bit too quick. But again, it's the overall idea of trying to get to the heart of the matter of what matters, what is valuable to them.
So to question one.
Yeah, and kind of leading into question two is understanding the value chain. Based on what they tell you, you can then do things like what Roger said. You can also ask, question, who calls you when something goes wrong?
Roger says interviews are indeed like therapy. You set the context initially, not just tell me about your problems, but how
exactly.
Is it relevant?
Exactly.
So based on what they tell you, ask questions like, who calls you when something goes wrong?
Exactly.
Right. Now, what do you think, what techniques do you use, Tim, to understand the value chain?
That starts with who calls you when something goes wrong.
Okay.
Because that tells you, that gives you insight into how the rest of the business is being affected.
Are there any other techniques apart from lots of questioning and interviews?
Yeah, completely outside of direct customer interaction, you can, you know, keep up on disaster stories that you read in the IT press, because you can then ask, has anything like that happened to you guys, or what are you guys doing to prevent that?
Roger, just more on product management as therapy and how it guides the questions we ask customers, and he gave a link to his blog from June 30th, 2005, that is entitled, Product Management is Like Therapy.
Yeah, excellent.
Uncovering psychotherapy emphasizes facilitating clients' insight into the roots of their difficulty. So I never talk about this in product management circles, but I'm a trained psychotherapist.
Excellent. Well, the difference between product managers and product marketing people using it is product marketing uses that to create the language and the positioning for your particular persona. Product management uses it to develop solution from let's go build that feature set that they need.
Yeah.
So that's critical to capture.
Yes.
A product man in Sydney says empathy. And number two, CPOC analysis to work out where they are in the end-to-end value chain. Paying origin is normally external to them. Do you agree, disagree?
Well, what's CPOC?
Yeah, okay, that's awesome.
Product development. So,
I've asked what CPOC is.
Great.
Yep, Roger's on the same wavelength here again with this answer. You know, how they manage their work around relevant problems they face. Again, insight into what impacts them, what affects them. I think I'm going to disagree, based on what I understand right now, I think I'm going to disagree with that people being outside or the value chain is external to them. Somebody's calling them when something goes wrong. They are right smack in the middle of the value chain. Because that means some part of the business is not functioning and they're responsible, or at least the perception is they're responsible.
welcome, America.
Okay. Well, Barry's asked a good question. What's the connection between Mabushi and value chain? When you understand the value chain, you're not going to talk about your shiny red thingy.
I love the word thingy, too.
Shall we move on to Q3?
Sounds good.
When is your sales team a customer/persona, and when are they a partner? These are quite sophisticated questions, I must say, Tim.
They got to be solved.
Yeah.
Okay. Peter Parakman says CPOC is a Six Sigma tool engineering approach to pain and problems. CPOC maps supplies, inputs, process, outputs, and customers. Thanks.
Okay. Well, talking from an IT perspective, if you're talking to people in IT, then they are all along that chain. They are responsible for getting the information from or supplies from the suppliers, you know, the inputs coming into the processes running correctly, the outputs being right, and getting to the end customers on time. You know, so they're smack in the middle of it.
IT people are responsible for a significant part of the value chain.
The infrastructure that supports, that keeps the value chain running.
So Barry Doctor is asking, is thingy a tech term? Or is it an Aussie term?
That's a technical term. A technical term for
thingy a lot. Australians use the word thingy a lot. Everything's a thingy.
Yes, they do.
And Jennifer says infrastructure to support value chain is not necessarily a partner.
Okay, that might be
the way I've expressed.
I think it might be spilling over in the question, is your sales team a partner or a customer?
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's Q3, because she says, your sales team is a customer in the respect that they absorb info, not a persona and not a partner.
Yeah, I really like that answer. That's me, though.
And they aren't a persona since they're neither a user nor a buyer.
Yeah.
Well, they are a buyer in that they have to agree that what you're saying is important and correct. Their needs are not the same as your buying customer's needs, but they still have needs you need to build tools for.
Saeed agrees with you, I think, Tim. Sales teams map to personas. In smaller companies, they can be partners. They need to maintain the product channel fit. And you would agree with that. Okay, I'll just let him know.
I think the meta point is that sales is not an adversary.
J.I. Doctor says, you're not buying your solution, only a customer who buys the info to sell the solution.
Yeah. Exactly. And they don't buy if they don't believe it. They don't buy if it's Mabushi.
And Saeed, repeat, sales teams have needs, wants, objectives, goals, influences, etc. Perfect for personae.
Right. That's where a sales team, where you can argue that a sales team is a buyer, and Jennifer points out exactly where they're not a buyer. And that's fine. And there is no right answer. The only thing is that they're ultimately, they're on your side. They have the same logo on a business card. Ooh, I like Liz Blank here. Can your sales team be a blocker to your customer? Ooh, absolutely.
And what do you think?
Oh, Jennifer just jumped in and says they can and often does block access or info to customers. That's when that happens when your sales team is an adversary or there's an adversarial relationship.
Liz Blank retweets Jennifer Doctor. If you're talking about launch material, then sales teams would be a persona If you're talking about your launch, the launch itself, then no.
Yeah, I agree.
Bless all these very lovely Australians that joined us today. My nagging must have worked. Hi, Liz. Hi, Jen, if you're hearing. Hi, Clive. Hi, Peter. Hi, Richard. Make them higher on level on the business card, and they're just even hilarious. Okay, shall we move on to question four because we're running out of time? That's gone really quickly.
Yeah. Okay, Q4. What makes your sales tools really effective, and how do you measure that?
Okay. Well, and, you know, just kind of waiting for see who else is going to jump in with some wonderful insight.
We have to give them time to have it get posted.
Right.
Is it because we often leave them out of the process, salespeople, that is?
Ah, says Liz.
Yeah, I always include.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
What makes your sales tools really effective, and how do you measure that? So, Tim, would you have an answer to that question?
Well, a measure of that is bad is sales team calling Mabushi on you. In response to Jennifer, I mean, that leads into, another, if it's productive, if it's good sales material, sales has been involved with it. It's field tested before you roll it out to everybody. They've had some input of some kind.
Sales tool must be created with consumer in mind and mapped to their buying process, must understand info supply chain.
Agreed. And also must use their language and their metric, not yours.
And see, it says, for your info, consumer last tweet is consumer of the tools / info and not the general economic consumer.
But that, yeah.
And I would say that, well, my response is must use their language and metrics applies to whether it's an internal consumer or an end consumer. Still has to be relevant to them.
Do you want me to get that?
Those tools must be created with consumer in mind and mapped to their buying process, must understand info supply chain. Yes.
We need to understand the salespeople plus the buyers and plus the buyers. So you've got two types of consumers there. Yeah. How do you do that, Tim?
Well, they pay me the big bucks.
Excellent. I'm coming to work with you. That one I like to see.
In some cases, it almost there has to be supporting documents. You know, Jennifer is let me back up here. Sales is trying to figure out how to make more sales. You have to show them that what you're giving them is going to help them make more sales through cases or whatever.
Liz says the same thing. So sales needs and customers' needs should not be that far apart.
They really shouldn't, you know.
So we're saying that you need supporting documents to show how we can help sales make more sales.
Yep.
So Jennifer, Doctor says examples exist when sales calls Mabushi simply because they were left out of the process or their suggestions were not used.
Exactly.
Sales needs and customer needs are designed to be different.
They are. They are. Because, you know, a salesman's trying to close a deal. For instance, IT customer, they're trying to make the phone not ring or or whatever. You know, when the internet connection goes down at a site for a trading company, and you've got 250 traders who are used to knocking down $600,000 a year dealing with high net worth individuals and they can't get to the internet, that's a bad thing, right? That IT guy is trying to make sure that never happens again. The salesman is just trying to make a sale. But if you equip him with the language to understand and be empathetic with that scenario, he'll be much better off than without. Yeah, and Jennifer just posted, customer needs to be shown the solution. Sales needs to understand what the customer needs, and they are different. And I think we're kind of in violent agreement on this.
Yes,
violent agreement.
I guess the other thing to point out is that if you simply show how it solves the customer needs, you don't necessarily show the salesman how it's going to solve his needs. And this is where you get into scripting, you know, or connecting the dot for them, right? The salesperson needs to know how to present it. They need to understand the language that the customer is using on that. So, you know, they need to be shown how to use it as much as anything.
Attention span is short. Sales are simple folks. Tools need to be simple and relevant to them. Sales need to trust tools.
And they trust them because they work.
That's a bit simplistic. Not you. The whole sales are simple folks.
Well, yeah, they need to trust tools, but are they going to trust simply because you say, I've done it, trust me?
Tools need to work.
and we can push on if we want to get to Q5. And people will keep answering what they want to. Q5 is, what self-checks do you use to eliminate Mabushi?
Oh, first one is I run it past my spouse, and if she can't figure out what the hell I'm talking about, then I fail.
Barry Ductus says the best tool is Bullfighter, and he references a Fight the Bull blog posting. Bullfighter is the epic defining software that works with Microsoft Word to help you find and eliminate jargon in your documents.
Ah, okay.
Oh, I love it.
Yes. And to respond to Jennifer, sales needs to understand the language, but to speak it, that's what product marketing helps sales do.
Okay, got that one.
Okay.
That's the essence of their job.
She'll like that.
Yeah. David Merriman Scott also has a gobbledygook analyzer.
Gobbledygook. That's a technical term.
Yes.
Jennifer Doctor says that is the responsibility of product marketing to help sales understand and speak the customer language with them, not at them.
Indeed. Another test of Mabushi is if you just get crickets in response.
Crickets from who?
Your audience.
Okay.
Do you understand the term?
I don't.
Adrian?
Yeah, I do. I know what crickets is, but you get nothing.
You get no response. No questions, no comments, no nothing.
Nothing. Crickets.
Crickets.
How do you know language, Tim? That's so Australian.
Hey, I'm bilingual in English and American.
Holy.
And I'm semi-literate in Aussie as well.
Excellent. Well, I can definitely understand cricket.
Goodness, it's 4:53 already.
I know. 9:54. She doesn't understand Mabushi.
Okay.
Just hogwash. Or English codswallop.
Yeah, I can just call it,
hogwash.
Hogwash. English term is codswallop. CODSWALLOP.
Codswallop.
Codswallop. Or simply rubbish.
Yeah.
I like Roger Craven's response. You know, if you're talking about features rather than problems, you're missing the point.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. Hogwash is not what you call it on your blog post that defines it. No, it's rubbish, the word you use.
I've just told Liz that it's really bullshit.
Yeah.
But much nicer to use Mabushi.
Yes, indeed. Much more politically correct. And
yes, exactly. Oh, my goodness, 4 more minutes.
What are your favorite examples of bad product marketing?
Too numerous to mention.
Cute, Cindy. Very cute. So what a top one.
Yeah, I'm looking at anything that says leading provider of. Yeah, sure. Not that I've ever been. Quickly and easily.
Yes.
And my absolute favorite, next generation.
How about state of the art? My
next
favorite.
Next generation.
It will actually keep recording.
Yeah, state of the art. I agree. I better look at my website. So that I can make sure I don't use that sort of funny term.
Yeah, world class.
And these days, it's like lean agile.
Yeah, lower cost of ownership. You know,
is that me? Microsoft redesigns the iPod package. I didn't realize it was video.
I did think what we see. Well,
yeah, got it in one. Point is that, you know, with all of these terms, you know, lower cost of ownership and improved performance and all the other crap, any properly implemented current technology will always perform better than what they've been doing in the past. So what?
Oh, bye.
Now, get to the point. Why is that important? What parts of the business are improved with this stuff? Will they make their bonus because of the new stuff? So it's been a ball. It was fun.
We had our regulars. We have a regular community. And I'm fine with a regular group of people. It's a little bit easier to follow.
Okay. So well, this is cool.
So. Oh, thanks, Tim. You're awesome. Really liked it. Very refreshing.
Yes, that's Tim. Good. Please come back for part two of this. I think we could spend a lot more time cutting deeper.
Yes, indeed. Well, I could probably go into more into the techniques of stuff, because this is kind of high level.
Yes, I'd love to learn more. Oh, that's so sweet. Roger. He says, really appreciate Cindy and Brainmates for bridging the gap between product managers around the world.
I think people warmed up now and don't want to go.
Well, that's kind of the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Adding some value.
That's right.
Thank you. Today's talk was very refreshing. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim Johnson. The unedited transcript will be available shortly.
Sounds good. Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been a great fun.
Awesome.
Bye, Tim. See you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.